This is Reggie.
And that's Ryan.
And this is R&B Talks. Again. I think we're getting famous, Reggie. I've met two people that now listen to our podcast on a weekly basis.
Dude.
Now, I'm not going to lie. I got them to listen.
But you didn't really meet them now, did you?
One of them I did. I just met him.
Okay, well.
And now every time I go to the Save a Step and get my coffee in the morning, he and I talk about that week's episode.
It's awesome.
But that's cool, right? Like, I like that there are people listening. I don't care how many people are listening. I just like.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, right, we don't know what the hell we're doing with this thing. So it's like, it's just, you know.
Guys, I got a 3-picture decoration, and we don't even know what to do with it. I just thought it would look cool. It's the Constitution.
I mean,
Declaration of Independence.
It's just
weird.
So thrown together right now. Yeah. I mean, we've been
and trust me, folks, we have plenty of conversations about this.
Indeed.
Right?
And indeed.
We will make this what we want it to be.
It's just, right? You know.
It just takes time. And
it's money, dude.
We'll get my, and I'm still looking. I think I got us a table and chairs, but we'll find out. Who knows?
All right, so, anyway. Brian.
Yes.
My timbre of my voice has changed.
I got a feeling this is either going to be a funny story or a scary story.
No, like just over the last, especially the last like 2 weeks, I've noticed like it's just lower, gravelier than it was.
Do you have allergies?
I do, but like I don't have anything going on right now. You
see,
know?
I have been suffering this week.
I know you have, but. Me, I've been fine. I take my stuff or whatever, but like, now it could be just because I don't feel something, but maybe it's like in, you know, even though it's not bothering me, it's there, but like, it's just clearly it is much lower in timber and stuff than it usually is.
You know,
it's weird.
You know, what affects me is, and it's weird, it's totally weird, is that the frequency with which I exercise has a lot to do with how I feel. Like I'm exercising 5 or 6 days a week, like I am right now, I feel good. Like all the time I feel good. I'm a little tired, but it's like a well-earned tired, right? The weeks that I don't, or when I go through stretches where I'm only doing like 3 days a week because time's a concern, I'm always more susceptible to allergies, colds, illness. It's weird. I know it's weird.
But, no, it makes sense, but this kind of coincides with like about 2 weeks. I started just taking every day and going outside for at least 30 minutes and splitting wood.
Yeah.
Right. So the first couple days I have a couple felling axes that I was trying to use. I was just having a hell of a time with those because the wood I have that's already been down has been there for years.
So it's nearly petrified.
Oh God. So I have all these rounds that are just been sitting for a long time. Either they're completely rotten and useless and I push them out of the way, or they're like freaking like a rock. So every time I'd go swing this axe, no matter how hard I swung that thing, it would just stick. It wouldn't do much. Right. So I got tired of that. Went down to the hardware store and I bought an 8-pound splitting maul. Right. So basically it's a sledgehammer with a blade on one side, really, is what you want to think about it as. Right. So that thing, I bring it back and I'm like, well, hopefully this do it. And I took one swing and the whole log just explodes. Like this whole little round of, you know, it's about, I don't know, 16, 18 inches tall and about, you know, 2.5 feet in diameter. Right. And it just explodes, you know, and I'm like, okay, I guess I got the right tool now.
Yeah.
And so I went through, I've got a whole bunch split, but I'm on my second splitting maul because my first one, the handle just broke and I'm not hitting the wood. Like the handle's not being hit.
Well, it can only take so much impact. I don't give a crap.
Well,
how good of an axe handle
it
is.
I took it back to the hardware store, right? Because it's the one I buy a lot of stuff from anyway, the Mr. Hardware down there, right? Yeah. And so I'm like, hey, Phil, I showed him it. I'm like, and he like looks at the wood and he goes, it's just cheap. It is. It looks so porous.
Yeah.
When you're looking at the wood, you're like, and he goes, this is just the real cheap Chinese wood. And so they wrote it up. And so I got a fiberglass handle one. And I don't usually like fiberglass handled axes and stuff because they like, the ones I used to have, even though they never broke, but they would like, it would always felt like flimsy. Like it had like some kind of bend to them that I didn't like too much. Right. Anyway. So then he's like, well, the new ones are different. Just try it. I think it's got something in the core to help it stabilize it or something. I'm like, okay. And it costs the same. So, you know,
yeah, why not?
So I got that one, and that one hasn't had any issues with it or whatever. But, anyway, so that's what I've been doing. Like every day I've taken a break. Like today I didn't do it in like a, you know, lab. There was one day last week I didn't get out there, but it's every day I'm getting out there just splitting freaking wood for 30 minutes with this 8-pound maul over my head. And you know,
that's exciting, man. That makes me happy for you.
It was, I tell you what, dude, it's gotten to the point now where I'm not as sore. Like when I first started doing it, man, it was like my whole core was like, what?
Probably all the way are up you through doing? Your shoulders.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What are you doing? You're supposed to be sitting in your office chair working on IT stuff. What's wrong with you? But, yeah, so that's been cool. And I wanted to do something that I would stick to and that I would like to do. And that is strenuous. So 30 minutes of me out there swinging that thing pretty much as hard as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I come in, I'm just dripping, and I know I've done something, and it feels pretty good. So we'll see. But that also coincides with the timber in my voice. I wonder if it's like, oh, now you're a lumberjack, so we need to change your voice a little bit.
You do know that there are side effects to sudden releases of testosterone, which is what is happening when you're doing that.
Yep.
And one of them is to put bass or lower the tone of your voice. It has to do with your – I feel like it's an internal kind of – hardwired radar.
Probably, it probably right? is though, but like, it's like when I used to work out a lot, that wasn't the case. I was in my 20s, right? So that was when that was. But now that you're older, you're also getting older, and it's capping that way anyway, yeah, too. So I feel like it's like at this point where it's just, I'm going to sound like an old man before the month out, right? It's going to be crazy, right? But anyway, just a funny thing about splitting wood and having to go through a splitting mall already. But
no, I think it would be fun to see you with like a Barry White voice.
No, but like, hey, baby.
That's right. Like the deepest of deep, right?
Well, like hey, baby.
Yeah.
What's going on?
You know, another one that had a super deep voice, but he was kind of scary.
Who's that?
Was Teddy Pendergrass.
Yeah.
He was a little, he liked to scream at you in the middle of a song. I wasn't a fan. Like scare the crap out of you while he's singing, and then you're like, you don't want to turn the CD off because you're afraid he's listening. Like it's weird, but he has a very deep voice too. I haven't noticed that any vocalists as of late have that kind of voice, right? It's like the deep voice is almost.
Well, no, I think the so your bass singers now that are well known are in those a cappella groups.
Mm-hmm.
That one guy named Jeff something or other. I actually watch his stuff because it's freaking amazing.
Well, one of the things that I always think about is Johnny Cash, man. Like how
he was like a baritone though,
but he could get in that low register. Like if you think about Folsom Prison Blues and Ring of Fire, that he didn't really sing those songs so much as he talked those songs.
Right? If you do a search for like on YouTube about lowest bass singers, there's this old big guy and he just like he singing like gospel music, and you see he's like in this old recording, he's like, and we did it, it just it's like a low, what do you say, it was like a low C or something crazy like that, and it's just like, he's like, good lord.
I don't know, man,
the one guy from, what's his name, it's Jeff something or other. I can't think of his last name, but he did a solo cover of like the Misty Mountains from Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh.
Oh, dude, it was so cool. But when you hear him talk, he it's not like he has a high voice or anything, but you certainly can see how he would sing low. But like some of the other, I've known some of the, like when I was at university, if there was a bass guy, you his voice was always like, anyway. You know, but
I don't think I've ever heard anybody do that, man. I'm just,
I find it fascinating, man. Cause if I'm sitting here thinking like how your vocal cords are moving in order, and like your whole shape of your, everything from your chest to your through your like throat to how your mouth is to make it tones that low is fascinating to me, mm-hmm. man. So I've always had an intrigue about that. But yeah,
you know, I realized something this week.
What's that?
As a father and a husband and a full-time employee of a very good company, I don't have a lot of spare time during the week. So I was home by myself for a couple hours last week, and I found a movie that I forgot that I loved. Have you seen Snatch?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So love the movie. Amazing movie, right? The story, the plot line.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The way the characters are written, all of that, you know. But the soundtrack. You don't realize how good the soundtrack to that movie is until you've seen it enough times where you're able to focus away from the storyline onto the soundtrack. The soundtrack of that movie was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Everything from popular London music at the time to classic rock to orchestral to horns. I mean, you couldn't touch more in the soundtrack of that movie. I don't know why I noticed it. I've seen a movie 50 times, but I noticed it now, I have no idea.
Yeah, he had some maybe that's Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Which was another amazing movie.
I can't remember which, because Snatch was great. I haven't seen any of one.
Snatch was when Brad Pitt was the gypsy.
I remember that. I know, but.
Which was one of my favorite characters of all time in a movie.
Dag.
Dag. What?
Okay. Yeah, it's funny, man. It's very
cool. You speak it after you've seen it like the fifth time you've seen it.
Yeah, it's very cool.
But I've been noticing more movie soundtracks now. Sometimes I'll find myself not paying attention to the movie and just listening to the soundtrack. And there are some amazing symphony orchestral movie soundtracks out there. There's a ton of them. You don't appreciate, Star Wars takes on a whole nother dimension if you were to take away the movie and just listen to the orchestral music that's played during that movie. It's absolutely fantastic. Right? I don't know why that's something that's dawned on me this late. I had this weird separation between music and movies, right?
So it is different for a sound. The soundtracks are written for, obviously a particular purpose to, intensify whatever emotion is happening in or lead to emotion or something. So that it's critical for the actual engagement of the audience in a movie to have this soundtrack go along with where they want the movie to go.
Yeah.
That's why the Dune soundtracks from both 1 and 2 and even Conan the Barbarian with mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That was a great soundtrack.
It wouldn't have been anything without
you be doing when that music is playing other than wearing a horned helmet, riding a horse with a sword, chopping people up? I don't know how else you would. If that music started playing, I would have to turn it off or do that instantly.
That's right.
That's right. But anyway, you know who soundtrack is really good?
What?
EMTCC.
Well, let's hear from Edwards.
All right.
Take it away. Are you a small business or entrepreneur looking to get more out of your online presence? Technology is ever changing, and with more and more people spending most of their time on screens, it's important to have your brand out and about getting the most exposure possible.
Worried about having a big budget for website design or social media?
At Edwards Managed Technology Computer Consulting, we cater to every business or solo entrepreneur's individual needs to come up with a plan that works for your product and your wallet.
Interested in learning about how we can help you manage your online presence so that you can spend more time doing what you love to do instead?
Visit www.emtcc.net to make an appointment or give us a call at 1-888-551-2770.
Mention R&B Talks and get 10% off of your initial appointment.
Remote and on-site options are available. Thank you, Edwards.
And we're back. Reggie.
Brian.
So I hope you had a good week since our last R&B jaunt.
Yep.
Life good, family good, work yep. good. Yep.
Yep.
Did you watch the Derby?
No.
Neither did I.
Care little. Care not. I didn't care about Thurby. I didn't care about the Oaks. I didn't care about whatever. I just don't care.
Well, you know what we should care about, right? That the Kentucky Derby is the second largest sex trafficking event in America behind the Super Bowl.
Yep. It's something. And you think about it too. And it really is because you have, I think there's a couple things why that is.
Yeah.
With horse racing, you have a lot more global involvement.
Yes.
Especially in the Middle East that come over here for that, that own these horses or whatever.
Yes, sir.
Sheiks and stuff, right?
That's right.
So their cultures are very different and they're used to doing whatever they want, including some vile things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know what? It's appalling. I don't have anything against horse racing necessarily. I don't really like it that much.
I don't have anything against the Kentucky Derby.
But what I do know is that if I had something like that and I knew that, okay, there's a child trafficking thing that is like,
I would funnel a lot of that money.
I mean,
that's coming in into solving that problem.
How does that not bother you? Right.
Yeah.
You know how does I mean? That,
but also you got to understand that a lot of people in horse racing are ultra wealthy.
Well, I know. And I mean, horses are not cheap.
We all know what, I mean, too much money corrupts too much. Right. So I hate to say that, but the depravity on our end ain't exactly lacking.
No, but I'm just saying like, if I held a sporting event and I knew that sporting event had an astronomical increase in child trafficking for just that freaking event, I don't know. That would really cause me to like, okay, maybe I don't have the event at all.
Well, for me,
because I mean that would be that important.
But at this point, the Derby's not going away, right? Like this is one of the biggest events in America.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying like you.
But
know,
what they should do right now is knowing that that exists, be funneling a large portion of the profits into stopping it.
They got to care about it first, dude.
You know,
they don't care.
That to me is just appalling. But for me, man, I have a really hard time with children being taken advantage of.
Yeah, I hear you.
That actually just instantly stirs up anger. Like there's no hesitation behind it. Like just the thought of one adult taking advantage of a child, regardless of the situation, it just makes me, my stomach hurt.
Oh yeah.
And not in a way where I feel weak, in a way where I'm like, dude, this just isn't okay. Right. Like that anyone would be like, well, you know, it is Derby, so maybe we shouldn't pay attention to this. No, not at all.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's one of those problems where I'm detached from like the people that actually solve the issues.
Yeah.
But I definitely know that, I don't know if someone said, hey, we're going to restructure our tax stuff and we want to put, instead of all this money to Ukraine and everything else, we're actually going to put it to fighting child trafficking. I'd be like, where can I send a check?
Yeah. Take as much of my taxes as you want.
Yeah.
Right. You need to raise them 3%. If that's what you're raising them for, I'm okay with that.
But they would never do
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Cause they don't want to acknowledge the problem.
No.
Right.
On better tidings.
Yes.
We got to talk about Russell Brand, bro.
Bro, amen to Russell Brand, dude, for getting baptized and coming to Christ, man. What an amazing. It's another I would compare it to a David story, right? I mean, you look at everything that he's done over the past 20 years, the movies, the drugs, the sex, all the things that he was doing, mm-hmm. and was doing them openly and publicly, for him to come to a point where, you know, he finally felt the pull, and I mean, he's out of it now and he's out here trying to make other people aware. Like I just, right before we did this podcast, I watched most of the video of him announcing it, and what a well-spoken, great advocate, right?
Okay. Here's what I'm going to say, though, and I've said this before when we mentioned Kat Von D. To you Christian trolls who keep negatively responding to stuff like this, shame on you. and you should repent. And I'm telling you right now, you should be rebuked.
Yeah, dude.
You don't know Russell. You don't know what he's doing. He's obviously been through a bunch of other spiritual stuff and is finding this. Shut up.
Yeah. Be quiet. Nobody needs to hear you talking.
No. No, look, you're, man, making noise. And here, no.
Honestly, I'll put it this way. For the win, right? Like, I'm not even, like, if he was here now, I mean, all I would be is like, dude, congratulations. Like, you're
I know.
You have found something. You and I found it. I know many a person who has found it. It's very freeing, and it makes the breaks in myself seem insignificant because they're forgiven. But, dude, how can you be negative?
Well, so here's what it is. It's like they look at the person he was and say that he's still the same person. And so you're like, well, you're just grandstanding. You're just being sensational. You're just doing this for whatever it is.
Well, so are Saul and David then. Well, that's the case.
Well, no, here's the truth. You don't know. We don't know. And I mean, like, I'm not buddies with Russell Brand. I'm not hanging out with him every day going, hey, man, how's your walk with Christ? Like, what are you doing? He's going to have if he's just now to the point where he's accepted his and publicly stated his beliefs, it's going to take a long time, especially for somebody like Russell Brand coming from that other kind of stuff. It's going to take a while to mature into a Christian me and you are, right?
I was baptized at 15 years old. I'm 48. I'll be 49 in 20 days. Right. I'm still working on it every day. Right. Yeah. Like, I'm struggling with things now that I thought for sure I would be past. But one thing I do know is that I recognize that there are problems and I'm just trying to do better. Right. Like,
just what I'm saying, though, we all have stuff to work on it. And when you start taking that journey, for one, you're excited and you're full of like this whole like connection and like trying to like really understand some things and stuff and doing things. And, but you still are fighting those. You've now got the Holy Spirit and Jesus in your corner to help you defend some of the other stuff that's going on. It doesn't just immediately go away.
Yeah, not at all.
It's very rare when you have somebody who says, well, I just got saved and poof.
Yeah.
I'm good. That's not how it is. So for one, it's called grace. You've received it. Give it freely or else you're a freaking idiot Christian. You know, give him some leeway. Good Lord. Yeah,
let the dude grow. Like, I can tell you that in the beginning of my walk, even today at times, dude, some of that stuff will creep back in momentarily, right? And you will have to refight that battle a little bit from time to time, right? Like, it's not, I love that these people, don't get me wrong, if it's true that you've, the moment you repented, all your sin went away and you just lived a perfect life. Good on you, right? I get it. I doubt it. But I get it, right? But here's the thing. That doesn't exist, right? There have been some of the most strong men of faith that I've ever known that I've watched fall.
We all do it.
But the difference is those men got back up, confessed their sin and got on with getting on and are still successful at what they do. Right. And are still good men of God. Right? Right. They're not enemies because they failed. Right. So this whole, oh, you're a Christian now, so you're perfect. No, bro, that's just not true at all. And if that's a platitude that churches are giving people, then the church is lying to the person that they're giving it to.
Yeah, I just don't think that. I really don't think that's it. This is just coming from people who.
Well, but you got to admit there trolls. Are a lot of churches that.
Oh no! I'm
not, you've been baptized, so you're perfect. No, bro, no, shut up.
No, I know
it doesn't work.
I actually saw, like the Holy Note.
I love that guy. I've been watching him lately.
Yeah, he had a one with this one. I forgot what her name was. Just totally, completely wrong. A, she was a pastor. Nope, don't believe in that either. And I don't care what you say either. That's what the Bible says. So that was already wrong. And then she had totally wrong theology, dude. It was totally stupid. Anyway, I don't want to get down that rabbit hole, but look, I just want to say publicly on YouTube that I, in our podcast and stuff, that I'm ecstatic for Russell Brand.
Absolutely. In every way, shape, and form.
And I mean, I know he mentioned his wife was a Catholic, and let me say this. I think there is some Catholicism that isn't quite cool, but in, there's a lot of it that's, you know, there's a lot of different sects and stuff inside mm-hmm. of Catholicism. So I don't go down the path and just say, oh, Catholics are all bad. No, but I just hope and pray for Russell that he just continues to grow and he impacts his family in a positive direction, yeah. becomes the leader that God wants
and
him
continues
to be.
To seek.
Right. And keeps growing. And
that's the key.
Moving
continue
forward.
Continue to seek, right? Continue to look for the country came out in me right now.
My name Brian Case and I say fur.
To look for more evidence because there's always more. That's something I've noticed is when I ever have a moment of doubt in what I believe, the one thing I can find in the Christian faith is the next piece of evidence, right? Like, not, ooh, I saw Jesus and a miracle happened in my life, but no. Well, I can track it all the way back to the old church, right? I can track it all the way back to the Church of Lycia and, you know, the original Jewish churches with the original law. And that's cool, but, you know.
The other, and we'll get to the early church in a minute.
Yeah.
A doctor, hold on. Community Bible Church.
Oh, yes. Dude, this was powerful stuff, man.
Hold on. Yeah. Dr. Ed Newton, lead pastor at Community Bible Church. Ruslan Katie. Okay, I saw it there. So this pastor, and I'll put the link for the Ruslan video down in the description, but you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that just, for one, it was kind of funny at how many things got thrown at this guy, but it's really rare to see a church that we would label a mega church, a pastor that would choose to completely take whatever he had planned for his sermon, shove it aside, and serve what was happening right there at the moment. I think that's a rarity, and mm-hmm. and with grace and with a really a heart of Jesus. I mean, it really wasn't nothing like that. So what tell me what you think, Brian.
It's rare that you see an honest moment happen in church anymore. Right? Like, so much of church has become a show.
Yeah.
For sure. Production, right? Dude, you just had a really honest moment where a preacher who had worked really hard probably for a week on this sermon and was in the middle of his message, and this guy shouted out a profanity. He very clearly could have stopped the sermon, embarrassed him, and then kept on going, which he had every right to do at that point, right? I mean, it's a mega church, so we talked about the quantity of people that would be there, which it's quite a few people, right? So, but this dude not only recognized that this isn't a moment for my sermon. I'm understanding now that this is not a moment for my sermon. God is calling me to talk about something else right now. But to take a heckle out of the crowd from a guy and then to pursue the story to the point where he did. I mean, that was just a dude doing the best he could to be there. And then for all these people to be coming to the stage and shouting him out, and for him to be able to sit downwind of that and not lose his cool. And even when he asked them to stop coming up front, like, he never got attitude or angry or felt
right.
Violate. He just knew there was a moment happening and that he needed to slow everything down and recognize the moment, right? Because there was something bigger coming a few minutes later.
So you got to watch it, because I think it's actually really good. And actually, Ruslan KD's commentary is pretty good too.
Yeah.
They don't overspeak over anything, whatever, but they're going to say similar to what I'm going to say, really. But what happened was that Dr. Ed was g- giving this sermon, and then he said something, and you hear this bull come out. He goes, hey, Anthony. And he goes, and he was really laughing, and he just took it at heart. He's like, hey, can we keep the profanity? You know, can we stop doing that or whatever? And then the guy named Anthony in the crowd, which I assume they talked or something, but whatever.
He had probably met him before the service.
Whatever. All right. This man saved my life. I was homeless, and he come pick me up, and he said this all out loud in the whole service. So then he's like, Dr. Ed, you can see him. He put the tablet down or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. He puts it down. He goes, okay, all right. And then he's like, come on. And so you hear clapping and stuff. And so he talks to the guy next to him. The guy whose name was Michael. Michael had actually gone to this service before that one. Was on his way home. He saw a homeless person that was needed food. So he went to Whataburger, picked up some food. They had already gone. He went to turn around. He saw this guy in another building or whatever. And so he's like, hey, here's some food. And then started talking, and it ended up with Anthony saying, hey, where'd you come from? And the guy said, well, I just came from church. And he goes, well, I want to go to church. And so the guy's like, well, do you really want to go now? Like, as in, really? Do we have to do this? And Anthony's like, yeah, let's go now. And so he takes him back to the church and goes to the next service, right? And so, you know, the pastor brings up Michael, has him sit right next to him, and talks about, you know, hey, what happened and all this stuff. And he's like, so what happened here is Michael just gave the sermon for the day, right? Yep. And it was like, it was just a cool church moment, and you don't get those often, right?
It was a cool, honest church moment.
Okay, there you go.
Right? Like, there are always cool church moments, but like, I had a cool church moment when you played it Southeast. Like, that was a cool church moment for me, but this was a very honest, yeah, dude, I've got nothing for you. We're just going to have to go down here and deal with this.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do is we're going to sit down on everybody's level, and I don't care how many of you are sitting out of there, we got some business to take care of.
And there's people coming up the whole time. Yeah. And like, he was, and this is what we were talking about before. Like, this is 2024 where pastors or preachers are getting attacked and services are being interrupted and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, it was pretty odd to see that kind of stuff just happen.
Yeah.
And then, but Dr. Ed though was, so the guy, he says, Anthony ended up coming up, and, Anthony said, yeah, he saved my life. I was about 3 minutes from stepping in front of a truck, killing myself. I've just met my end of my rope. And it was like, you know, the critical moment opened. Then, you know, pastors crying, they're hugging, and I love you, man, and all this stuff. And then still people coming up.
Yeah, coming up, dropping money on the stage. And like, they were, was crazy, dude.
And then at the very end though, the pastor Ed's like, hey, look, we don't want to send Anthony away with just a bunch of money in his pocket back on the street.
We want to get him.
Yeah. He needs to get off the street. That's what we need to do. So again, if you've not volunteered or worked with the homeless before, you don't really understand this, but some of them don't want to be off the street.
They don't have the mental capability.
Yeah, there's anymore. A whole lot of things that are in play there. You may try, you may do a lot of things, but
and here's something that, dude, that's just true. When you are homeless, you live in mental and personal isolation for long periods of time, and it is medically proven that spending time isolated like that and being kind of outcasts of society and not having regular interactions can cause severe mental health issues. And I think that's the underlying, under the alcohol and the drugs, what you have is a severe mental health issue where they are just not mentally capable of living a normal life anymore. Like, they just don't have the faculties. It's like they've gone feral in a way, right? Like, I don't really want to be normal anymore. Like, I'm so used to being abnormal.
Well, there's a spectrum of like all kinds of things. It's really hard. I mean, sometimes there's a lot of drug use still going on with the homeless people. They're homeless because they're hooked on something, and they take whatever they get and they buy more drugs. And there's a lot of overdoses and stuff that happen.
That's
a big culture.
Yes, that's true.
And you just find them dead because they just overdosed on something or whatever. It's crazy. I know when I've helped with a couple organizations and I've gone around to do blanket drop offs or whatever, you go around to the various tent sites and all this stuff. And sometimes the guy would be like, "Hey, I should probably take this one," or what it would be like. He'd tell me that guy's like, has a habit of being like a little aggressive and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm the guy who says, "Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
I'll go do it anyway." And what had happened a couple of times is where I'd have to approach someone and they'd really see me, this real big guy, obviously coming up to them, and they get really scared or something, and it helped me learn how to de-escalate with a person who's not all there.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you could call that providence or whatever about something like that, and how I just didn't get attacked or whatever, but you know, and there was times when it didn't happen and, you know, somebody else would have to come up and help me out. But I'm just saying you're talking about people who are lost and who have some real issues, and it's hard to deal with. This guy in this particular instance seemed like his faculties were mostly there, and it was like he was with it, which was already a step up in the right direction, you know. Mm-hmm. And who knows what has gone on or what's family situation, but anyway, it was a really cool, really cool thing. And I really encourage everybody to take a listen to the Ruslan video. I think it's somewhere else too. Like I don't know if the Community Bible Church has that up or not.
Well, honestly, I think you could,
but
you'll find it. I think in the next day or two, you'll have a isolated video of the event. And I really like to watch it with that. I'd like to watch it without all the audio.
Right.
And all the commentary.
So anyway, that was really super cool. And it helps to see that. And especially in today's public forums where you only see the bad stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I'm sure there's somebody out there that'd be arguing that was bad, but you know,
or
and
even Ruslan, or calling it propaganda.
Yeah. Too. But anyway, that was really cool.
All right, let's get back to it.
Well, after Brian's potty break,
yes, I need a potty break sometimes in my life.
Well, hopefully you use it in the correct potty.
Yeah. I feel like there's a pattern emerging, Reggie. And I'm going to kind of run down some events. You have the jumping up of the Daily Wire, which is a lot of faith-driven people, right? Public about their faith. And then you have Jordan Peterson come along, who is not of the faith, but is walking that path, right? He's discovering as he goes along. And then his wife has become a person of faith. His daughter is a person of faith. Again, I don't know where his son lies. Then you have some other events leading up to Mark Driscoll and what went down there, which I thought, you know, I thought for a split second, but I didn't really realize it until just now when I watched these two current videos with you, that Mark Driscoll was a jump off. Like for someone to, I feel like there needed to be a point where someone rebuked the Western Church at one point or another in a way that would challenge the status quo. And I feel like in a way Mark Driscoll did that by just, you know, stepping on stage and doing something that you very rarely see any preacher do, is rebuke another preacher for, and I'm not saying it was right or wrong, right? But it was definitely a move. And then, you know, you have.
Okay, look, sorry, I interrupted your statement. You know, it's one of those, like, you hear this squeal, you're like, that's either a happy squeal or a not happy squeal. And a really
it's indifferent sounding, right? Like, it does no, like, I've thought Caleb and Dylan were were hurting each other, and I've run upstairs and they were actually giggling and fighting and having a good time.
I know.
And then I've run up there thinking, and then I've ignored it thinking that they were having a good time, and they're up there pummeling each other and trying to kill each other. And so I get it. Yeah. It's not fun.
So apparently they had spilled something. I don't know, that Brianna was trying to paint or something. They got on the floor. Anyway. So all these events.
Okay. Anyway, so where I was then you have Russell Brand. Then you have this community. What's the church's name again? I'm sorry.
Community Bible Church.
And this pastor who, honestly, man, he might be the first vision in the church, the true vision of someone who gets it, that I've seen in a while, right? Oh, this isn't about a pasted sermon every Saturday. This isn't about my status as the minister of the church. This is about, I'm recognizing that there's something more powerful than what I'm preaching going on right now. And I've got to stop and keep cool and navigate this so that I can help the people here that aren't seeing it not miss it. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very cool.
Well, I don't know, man. This is why there's a lot of prophetic nonsense going on too. There is an escalation in kind of some stuff at the moment, but there has been in past as well. So it's kind of hard to say if this is unique or not, because it could be, it could not be. And again, we don't know the time and place of anything that's going to happen. Sorry. And yes, I know there's all these, well, you'll see these signs and this. Good luck deciphering what those really are.
Well, here's the problem. So I think recognizing prophetic signs from God is kind of like recognizing miracles. You and I have talked about how I feel about miracles, right? Like, we don't recognize the big ones because we've stopped acknowledging the small ones, the everyday miracles, right? I think we're mistaking our want to see signs in a lot of cases for there actually being signs. And here's why I say that. I am utterly confident in every way, shape, or form that I have zero control or power over when he's coming back.
Yeah.
I don't. I can't. I don't even want to really talk about it most times, because it's a bottomless nonsense conversation if you get involved in something where somebody's trying to talk you out of it. It's one of those things where, unless I'm put in a situation where I have to have a discussion about it, I'd rather not. I think the best advice to give anybody right now is do what you're supposed to do. Love on people. Pray for people. Be kind to people, show grace like you've been shown. And I've struggled with that for the last month or so. And that's a whole nother episode, but I've gotten a real lesson in, I was given grace, so I need to give grace. Right. So I'm really just shut up, man. And just shut up and do what you're supposed to do. Shut up. Stop trying to shepherd everybody to the apocalypse. And just do your job.
Well, there's a point to say, hey, there will be a time when there is no more time to do anything.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's been imminent now for over 2,000 years. Because, I mean, you know.
Well, from the moment he passed, it was imminent.
That's what I mean. And right? Imminent for God is, I mean, like a millennia can blink, is a blink of an eye to yeah. God kind of thing. So, I mean, like, who knows? But. You know, the whole idea behind really true believing and true repentance is like you have to make a change. That's why it's called born again. You're dying to yourself.
But let's be clear. It's not you have to make all the changes. You just have to start making changes.
I know.
That's what I think frustrates me in this conversation. It's not with you, but it's with other people. Well, you're born again, so you have to make all these changes.
Oh, no.
No. No, no, you don't. You're just learning. You're just opening up, well, right?
What I always kind of reference it this way, is saying like you are now letting go of your ego, you're now letting go of your own self, like your control mania of whatever happens, and you're allowing God to have that stewardship over your life. So you're saying, hey, God, you now, I'm saying I'm not enough. I need that. I need you. I need Christ. I need the way, the truth, the life. I need that.
You know, I heard a guy quote something earlier this week, and it was pretty prophetic in exactly what you're saying. You're not going to get all of God in one day. You're just not. And, you know, one of the things that I really loved, and I think that kind of shows this movement we're seeing back towards traditional values, is the flower doesn't come to the bee. The flower just is, and the bee has to find it, right? God just is. Like, there's always has been, right? He's always, mm-hmm. he's always been God. Like, I don't, you know, he's ever present. He's never changing. He's the same God he's always been, right? We are the bees, right? And we need to be, I think we went so long with there being such a good subterfuge of the world that we were obscuring the vision to him enough where he had to respond. And I think what you're seeing are these big pieces.
Maybe.
Here's how I beat back your culture.
Well, right? And also too, I mean, you talk about like prayer has a big portion of that. I mean, cause like there, obviously there's more than one person in the country praying for the country and for it to come back to its Christian centered kind of methodology, really. So, I mean, prayer works. So there's got to be something to that too, but we'll see, man. I mean, you know, there's a lot of interesting things happen. I will say one of the other interesting things, this was the worst tax season I've had in a very long time. I will say that. Speaking of things recent,
you know, it wasn't great. I will say that. I mean, was it the worst I've ever had? Honestly, I don't know, because I don't, I try to forget them immediately when they're over, because I don't want to carry that in my heart and hate. But it was not great.
Let me tell you, man.
I'm scared for you to tell me, man.
Oh, bro. I am so irritated. Not only that I had to pay what I had to pay, but that where that money goes is just, and like, it's one of those where I feel like in principle, I should fight like if I have to pay him anything, I should fight everything. Every ounce of me should say, fight that. But what I do know is that if you try to get into a fight with the IRS, unless you are willing to lose everything you have and spend everything you have on tax attorneys that are insurmountably huge, you lose.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and so it's like, well, for the betterment of my family, I have to put aside my damn.
For the betterment of my mental health.
Oh, no, I mean, for the detriment of my health, mental health, I got to like let it
well
do the thing.
Here's what's jacked up for us. Well, you know, after this year, the child tax credit goes away. Unless they vote to hold it over, which I don't think they're going to do unless the Republican president exists. So, my wife works in Kentucky, lives in Indiana.
Whole thing.
So she has to pay Indiana and then get a refund from Kentucky, but somehow we always owe more to Indiana than we're getting back from Kentucky. So it's this constant, well, how imbalanced is it going to be now? And why is it even necessary? Hasn't Indiana landed in the black the last couple of years? Like, they're doing great financially. And then the federal, well, but because we know what the federal government's doing. I mean, we'd be in just as good a shape if they poured gasoline on it and just set all the money on fire at this point. Because it's not worth anything. So,
no, it's just absurd, man. I just find it appalling. I just, I'm not an isolationist necessarily, but I do think that I have no interest in a lot of this stuff, and it just irritates the living crap out of me. But
I've always been a big advocate of send me a list of everything that the tax money has to go for and let me choose where mine goes.
I know, but at the same token, we'd end up with the whole thing. Like, I don't even think we need to do that. I just think it needs to go back to more state oriented stuff. And the federal government's wicked small, and it just takes care of what it's supposed to take care of.
Yeah.
For sure. Anyway, so another, well, we really don't have too much time left, Brian, to talk about some things, but
lay it on me, dude. Let's roll.
Cause I don't, you know, we try not to have like 2.5 hour episodes.
I know, but we sometimes do. So
no, we haven't had 2.5 hours, but yeah,
we've had some solid 2 hour ones though.
I think so. I think I edited down a couple of them though. So
I know you did. There was a couple of them where I was like, I remember saying this and it wasn't in there.
Yeah. But
that's cause I trust Reggie. I was probably babbling on about some garbage. It's okay. Hot.
Well, garbage. I've cut out a bunch of stuff I've said too. I mean, it's just like, if you know, just for them, if they really need to know. Mm-hmm. So what I find interesting is how the differences in the similarities between what's going on now and kind of what we see, movements of the faith and the church and stuff like that. How culture is, well, culture's off the rails, especially if you look at the protests going on.
Yes.
And I will say, Brian, I have not even paid attention to it because I don't want to be upset. But why don't you give us some rundown of some college protesting?
Here's the problem. Young people in our country have gone insane. They are running around on college campuses, some of our biggest and most prestigious college campuses, calling for genocide of an entire nation and cheering a terrorist organization. And forgive me for saying this out loud, but common sense alone as an adult who can think beyond getting my shoes on and off, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, it makes me wonder if all of these, there is some kind of communicable disease of panic that is sweeping through certain places that's out of control. Cause the behavior within itself is not just self-righteous and ill-aimed, but it's just beyond any normal level of common sense, right? Like, okay, so Hamas is terrorists. Palestine houses many terrorist organizations. They attacked and murdered people in Israel. So, and Israel is striking back. They're saying, you're not going to do this to us. We're going to extract a toll and you're going to pay a price. And it's just weird to me that when we were attacked on September 11th, this country congealed together like I had never seen before. But when they watch something that was done to us, done to another country, we want to cheer for the people who we would have hung in the town square if they did that here. And it's the epitome of hypocrisy, right? Like, it's the epitome of hypocrisy.
This I put full on the institutions.
Oh, yeah.
This goes right to the heart of what is wrong with our educational institutions.
Yeah.
At the highest level. No, this makes no sense whatsoever. And look, I don't care what you call yourself, democratic socialist, a Marxist, of whatever, you're all full of crap. It doesn't work. It's never worked. It's always equaled more death than it did life. It's never equaled freedom. It's never done that. Through the course of human history, that system has never worked. And that's not an opinion. That's a fact. Second thing is, why the uneducated opinions of these people who are supposed to be educated blows me away.
Yeah.
I've heard like a little bit in passing, a little bit, because I haven't had a lot of time this week, but and when they're asked questions about the, you know, Palestine versus Israel, and they say stuff like, well, Israel hasn't been a state for this long and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, you are totally not, where have you been? Like, what are they really teaching you in history then? Cause yeah. like this goes back to Israel goes back to biblical times. Dude. Yeah. I mean, this like, is silly. This is,
it's biblically it is said that those lands will war until my return.
And I, right? yeah. Like,
so let's just talk. this is a perfect example that you're not going to break the will of God. God has said these countries will war until the day of my return.
Now, yeah.
And now we're all shocked because they're warring.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. Right? No, it's no surprise. Now, the other thing is the Gaza Strip, right? Mm. So what surrounds the Gaza Strip, Michael? Michael. Why did I say Michael?
Why'd you call me Michael? That is the weirdest thing you've ever done. Are you having a moment? Did you call
Why did I say Michael?
I don't know. I think you were calling. I think you were saying you meant to say me because you looked at me and then you said Michael. I said and I was Michael. Like,
that's weird. Okay, Brian. What? The Gaza Strip is surrounded by what, Brian?
Well, several,
Israel.
Yeah, Israel. Several. And doesn't it partially border Egypt? Is it?
Look, I'm. Yeah.
I think so, just a little bit. Maybe I could be wrong.
The majority of it is covered by, you got water.
Yeah.
And you got Israel.
Yeah.
And you got like a little over here, I think, on whatever.
Something. So, yeah. It's got a small percentage of border.
I'm geographically challenged at the moment. Sorry.
I just don't know.
But so what makes you think you're this little strip? And you're going to now start doing a bunch of nonsense to the country that mostly surrounds you, that you have really no way out.
That honestly and essentially is offering you protection by being a superpower.
But anyway, look, it just goes farther than that. Hamas is an organization, is a terrorist organization that has a genocidal agenda. I mean, yeah. That's what I don't understand. That's plain.
Being very polite.
It is being polite. But I'm just saying like that's the same. I mean, I don't understand. I have no clue how you form the opinion to say, ooh, this is who. Now, I get where you'd say, like, look, I think Israel's a turd. I think Palestine and Hamas are a turd. I just don't have a dog in that fight. Okay.
Yeah.
That I could understand.
Yeah.
All right, look, I'll let that go, even though I think that's stupid too. But at least that's not like totally and completely off the rails.
At least it's arguable, right?
But to say that you're like all this pro Hamas, pro Palestine, blah blah blah. No, you were insane. You have like you either have no idea what you're talking about, which is mostly the case,
yeah,
or you've been so brainwashed by some moron that you're just uttering nonsense and repeating it because you think you're smart.
Well, I think this is indicative.
Get over it.
I think this is indicative of higher education in the general sense. I mean, I had a little college experience, Reg. And what I noticed in my college experience is I was an outcast. I was a conservative father taking sociology and psychology classes that were, to say the least, slanted towards a very dark liberal agenda, right? And I passed those classes. I had a class and a professor that I remember this very clearly. She wrote an argument and our assignment was to write as the opposing side of the argument, right? My job was to take all of her bullet points and debate those bullet points back to her from the opposition. Well, she was supremely liberal and I'm not. So I did exactly that. And she gave me an A. To her credit, she gave me an A. But in the footnotes of the paper, it said, P.S., I agree with and believe in nothing that you wrote. As if to tell me, hey, I'm going to give you an A because I have to. It's my job, but I don't think you're credible at all. And I'm going to ignore all of these good points. And it was a masterful paper. I don't do well at that. But for some reason, when I was challenged with that, I uncorked the genie for a minute and I immediately realized that it wasn't where I needed to be. So I immediately stopped.
I'm so thankful that I did not choose a university like that. Liberty is totally not that.
Yeah.
Now, and this is where I think people give Liberty a hard time because they think, well, it's just a Christian university. It's just all they're going to have is they don't. They teach kind of everything. Like when you do philosophy or any of the other like secular, non-theological classes I've taken, it's always mm-hmm. been everything. It's not they're not just teaching, you know, the Genesis creation account and all that stuff. I mean, they teach everything. Biology and all that stuff is taught just like every other thing else. So they also will have the Christian perspective as well presented.
Yeah.
And that's what is key, right? I mean, but anyway, yeah, I mean, I don't know. If I was a young kid now in college, I can't imagine what I would, I don't know. I just can't imagine that, dude. It's just so, such a different thing than when I was that age. Coming out of high school, all that stuff. That was 95, right? That's when I got out of high school. That's when I'm, you know, it's a completely different world than, you know, from 2024 to 1995,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Crazy, dude.
Well, and the fact of the matter is this there's a movement happening. I can't explain what I mean by movement when I say that in this general sense. I just feel like, and it's all catching, like you're seeing it all. Like, I mean, I know this isn't a big deal. I mean, who cares about, I mean, I don't really particularly like Roseanne, but Roseanne comes on and goes head to head with The View, and she's conservative and beats The View in the very first episode by some miraculous number. I believe that there are things happening that are pulling the attention in the right direction. Right. Even when Dr. Phil went on Joe Rogan a couple of weeks ago and literally said, I was wrong about all of these things. And then talked about his faith and how he was, you know, trying to start a television network.
Oh, that was on Jordan Peterson.
Well, he did that on Joe Rogan too.
He did that both. I didn't see the one on Joe Rogan.
He did a great job on Joe Rogan, man. That was really good. And he talked about he wants to own the debate lane in television, right? And he wants to give a floor to people to have honest conversations and honest discourse and to get to the facts, not the feelings, but the facts of things, right? And he talked about how his mind had been changed about his time through COVID and all those things that happened. And I mean, it was monumental. And I just downloaded his audiobook for We Got a Problem. And I'm going to listen to that because I feel like, I mean, the dude's ready to speak some truth. And I feel like that's happening everywhere, right? It's not just happening on television. It's not just happening it's even happening in sports, man. You've got a couple of NBA players that are good players, well known, that have come to the forefront and said, you know what? We're Christians, man. We are godly men. Right. Like I feel like God went, all right, you know, hold my drink. 'Cause here, I'm going to show you exactly what happens when you make me stir. And all of these things are happening. And I think it's a real kind of visual of, you know, just how important conservative moral values still are, right? Like that's, to me, that's just awesome.
I mean, true conservatism, I'm down with.
Yeah.
I'm not down with the current Republican Party.
Yeah, but they suck.
Let me just make that clear.
Yeah, right? They're all weak. They're all weak-willed and spineless.
No, I'm not saying all.
95%.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, it's like somebody, so somebody stuck a Karen Engelman sign in my yard.
It's my wife's aunt.
Did you stick it here?
No.
Okay. I took it down. I don't know Karen Engelman. I don't know what she's done that's good for me or not, whatever. I certainly don't think there's anything been, you know, whatever. She may have. But, like, I don't trust any of them. I mean, it would take me to have a personal relationship with somebody in Congress.
Well, I will tell you that I fully trust Karen Engelman because my wife and I have a personal relationship.
I'm sure you do.
And she's a great lady who she was an auditor for a long time. And she is just one of those people that really feels and she's never actually said this, but just from the way she presents herself and it's an honest presentation, she just feels that it's her duty to serve. And she lets her common sense and her faith kind of guide her. And that's very rare in politics. Right. So,
well, there was another, there was I think she was a state senator or a state representative of Colorado, mm-hmm. who was a friend of a friend who came out one New Year's. This has been a long time ago, but we hung out. Right.
Yeah.
So Lori Sane was her name. Brilliant lady who married, like, he was the jarhead of jarheads kind of guy. Like, he's mm-hmm. just a, you know, I didn't
meet him. He was the Marine.
Oh yeah. He's the, like, apparently, but she was very much like, you know, a tough, this is, you know, this
no nonsense.
No. I mean, nothing. I'm, you know, this is what needs to happen in Colorado of all places too, which is, but you know, so I've met some, I'm mm-hmm. not saying that. Right. I know I've not, and I'm not in, see, I've really dived out of politics a lot. Now, I've been into it more lately since we've had the show because I'm trying to keep up somewhat, but I just don't like it, man. And anyway,
well, I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm voting for Karen Engelman. I'll be voting for Greg Rauten, former Army, very just friend of mine, just a very honest and integral guy who is another person that just feels that duty to serve. Right. And, you know, I, as of everyone else that I don't have a personal relationship with, you're a politician, and I have to really kind of keep my guard up before I make that decision. Right. And I'm not saying, I'm not accusing anybody of anything. Like, I've familiarized myself with the gubernatorial candidates and all that stuff for Indiana, and I've read what I can. But, you know, I actually got to go to a Republican event this year, and I'm actually going to work the polls on Tuesday evening. But, you know, there's a lot of nonsense that goes on in the government and a lot of broken things that go on and a lot of broken people trying. I've never met a broken person that can fix a broken thing, right? Like, you got to heal yourself and then take care of business. Yeah,
but we got to get away from this two party thing though. You know, I mean, like, it's so divisive, but like there's just more ways of governance than just two ways.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and there are people you can be, and this has nothing to do with your faith, but you can be a conservative, financial, liberal, you know, liberal, personal kind of person. And you can be, you know, vice versa. You can be financially liberal and morally conservative, right? Like, I think the point when we start to say you can only be one way or you can only be two ways. I honestly, I'll say this, and I don't know how people have responded to this, but I think right now we charade as a Democratic government and we do not behave as a Democratic government. We like to fly democracy, right? Yet our government is slowly but surely trying to choke the independence out of everybody in our country by regulating and taxing and unnecessary laws and bills. It's just as if they're intentionally trying to bury us under so much stuff that we'll never find our way out.
Agreed. So, as evident by this tax season.
So I want you to name this episode Reggie Talks About This Tax Season, because you are definitely hurt by this tax season. Like, it's
here's the thing. What happens? This is what I want to make. This is how I relate to how poorly the tax stuff is. I want to be generous and I try to be generous. I try to give a lot. And when the government takes the money I could give to some thing or purpose or person or family or here locally, or whatever it is, and they use it for all this crap, it really irritates the snot out of me, dude. Mm-hmm. And that's it. When I have to pay thousands of dollars to the government and then they're going to take it and go all over this thing and do all that when they're doing such a poor job of taking care of their own people that they want me to give them more money so they can screw it up more. That's how I'm looking at this. And that's how it's verified its way throughout the whole years. All that we've had, all these social systems very rarely work. So what I'm saying is that the proof is right there in the historicity of whatever we've been going on and how we've approached our tax systems. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work.
Well, I can speak that from personal experience in the sense of when I was growing up and my mom was trying to get financial help. My mom worked two full-time jobs essentially and couldn't get enough money together because neither one of them were great jobs. But according to our financial institutions, my mother made entirely too much money to be able to draw any money. So, you know, there's this, but there are millions and millions of tax loopholes for millionaires and billionaires to crawl through. And I'm not saying I'm not liberal in that sense. Like, we have to make America a business friendly place in order to attract businesses in so that we can provide jobs. I get all that. But still, I mean, for some of these guys are getting away with paying $0 in taxes. That can't be right.
But they really don't. That's the thing. They don't get away with paying $0 in taxes, dude. No one gets away with paying zero. No one.
You know.
That's actually a farce. That doesn't exist. Well,
I'm
not
saying, but I'm just saying, like, you, if you're paying 1% or 2% after all of your loopholes and benefits, I mean, I pay an average of 27 to 28%. And I make far less money.
No, what I'm saying though is that a lot of those, it's just because so when here's what happens when you reach a certain point. Now your money, your wealth is now divested into all these different things with all these different regulations and taxes and all this mm-hmm. different stuff. So whether that's the stock market, you own property, you have, you own businesses, you do this, and all those different business verticals have different things. So according to it, whatever the case may be, so all of it gets roped into this stuff. And each of these individual things have all these different tax things to it. And then you have your own personal income, but that personal income is also divested into all these different things too.
But let me be clear, your dollar is taxed the way your dollar is taxed. I mean, think about that. All right, you work a 40-hour week. Let's say your paycheck is $1,000, right? Well, now I got to pay income tax, federal income tax, state income tax. You know, I got to pay FICA, blah, 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 water, sewer, whatever taxes they want to hit you with, right? And then you got to pay taxes on your house and your cars, even though you've already paid for them in full. So that's more of your dollar being taxed second and third time. Then you have to pay, you know, state taxes for everything that you purchase. You have to pay, you know, and then at the end of the year, if the government decides, hey, we didn't take enough of your money all year long, we're going to take a little more. I mean, your dollar can be taxed 5 to 6 to 7 times, depending on what you're into.
And it's ridiculous.
So think about that. Think about what that makes our dollar worth, man. I mean, you really break that down. That's just heartbreaking.
I know.
You know.
All right. Brian.
Reggie. Reginald.
We should tell them to like, subscribe, and
you should like, subscribe, comment, high five, poop emoji, whatever you want to send. I'm cool. Just a response. Just let me know you're there, but especially that subscribe button. Click that subscribe button. You know, I hope we brought you some cool info and you enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, we rambled quite a bit.
We did. We wandered all over the place.
Title this one, episode number 40, Rambling.
Hey, I dig it. We rambled, but we rambled with a purpose. I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie.
This R&B Talks. See you
later.